fighting products.
Here we go.
HerbalHealer.com.
I'm ready.
Healing the world with nature. One person at a time. Since 1988.
Holla, holla, holla.
And it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati here in the hill country. The weather doesn't know how to make up its mind. Today it's like 70-100% humidity and cloudy. Yesterday it was cold. The day before, snowpocalypse for the second time in a week. Michael is driving around. Where are you at today, Michael, in your Warmabago?
I'm in Recluse, Wyoming, population 15. You know, we almost moved to Recluse because we like the name and we like the idea of population 15, but we didn't, because 4 years ago when we moved to Wyoming, they only had dial-up in Recluse, and we're like, that won't work. That won't work at all.
That'd be the worst situation for being a recluse, having slow internet and being a recluse.
Yeah, it wouldn't work, man. Wouldn't work.
No, that'd be awful. But I guess they're old school recluses, right? They like write books and read books by candlelight.
They write poetry books.
They write poetry.
Well, let's get the other thing out of the way. The big elephant and the big sick donkey, cat, marmot in the room.
Quaker.
Yeah.
The sick Quaker.
Quaker.
Yes, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, but great voice for the Liberty Mission, is a little, or I guess more than a little, but is in the hospital. I talked to him about 10 minutes ago. He sounded in good spirits, sounded like he's going to be okay.
He has congestive heart failure, and I talked to him yesterday, and he also sounded like he was in good spirits. Because we got to say what it is, Nemo. You're a mainstream news guy in your past, you know, and you were just telling me, you were helping me edit my secret video for my project that's going to take over the world or change the world for the better.
Talk radio is different because we have 15 minutes in a segment to just
but you didn't
talk,
didn't even lead with the headline though.
The headline is
Ben Stone is in the hospital, went into intensive care with congestive heart failure.
Because I don't want to play ratings with Ben Stone's health.
It's not ratings, it's facts, man. There's people out there going, wait, you're saying Ben's sick? I want to know what it is. You got to say what it is. So there, that's what it is. And this is a teaching hospital here, how to do radio on the Freedom Fiends. We're teaching and learning all the time. So that's a good point there that Nima just reminded me of when he was looking at my video today is
that's right.
Always lead with why people should care. What are the five W's?
The inverted pyramid is where that really comes from, though.
Yeah.
When you write your story, you write the most important thing, the thing that's going to grab people. That's at the very top. And then your points, your sentences get progressively less important so that they can just chop off the bottom. You know, if you need to cut for time, that way all you have to do makes it easy. You just chop off the bottom.
Yeah, I had an English teacher that called that the inverted pyramid style of writing. He said it was something like something I can't say on radio, but it's kind of like the bikini bottom shape style, we'll just say. But yeah, you know, another reason that came up was not just if you have to, you know, like you put the most important, you go from most important to least important in, you know, news or in newspapers. It isn't just so the editor can easily snip, snip, snip to fit in more ads. It's also because when news used to go over, when it first went over wire, wires weren't very reliable and could go down and did often. So they wanted to, you know, give the information. And then if the, you know, the Indians cut the wire, now it was after the Indians, but it was like, you know, if just the network, there you go.
Yeah.
So okay. Ben's in the hospital. Right. That's the news, man. But we're hopeful. And, you know, if you pray, say a little prayer. If you don't, think good thoughts. And I asked him if he needed money and if it's a money emergency as well as medical. And he said, I don't know yet, but not yet. He's doing okay. And has some insurance.
Well, he said they were giving him some antibiotics. I guess he thinks that it was mainly because of a pneumonia he has. He's got too much fluid in his chest. So it sounds like something to where if he could nip the infection in the bud. You know, sometimes I tell myself that he's going to be okay, you know, or I'm more of an optimist, but he sounded like he's going to be okay. So I like to think Ben will be okay. I'm no doctor, though.
Yeah, and you know, I was wondering if it flashed through my mind: is this a government conspiracy? Did they poison him, or did somebody, some enemy of his, maybe not the government, because he did do some whistleblowing on this show about a month ago? He came and told what he knew from firsthand experience of sitting next to the people examining the wreckage of flight. What was it? I forget.
I think it was 800. Yeah, right? TWA flight 800. It was
blown out of the sky, or apparently just fell out of the sky, because I guess planes do that, according to the FBI. But yeah, he dropped some mad science on that. And then like a few days later, we heard him do someone else's podcast, or do a podcast, and he sounded horrible. And we told him to go in the hospital. And so I don't really I would say it's not a government conspiracy. You have a different thought, but I say it's not a government conspiracy because he got really sick, but he didn't go into the hospital. Wasn't it Peter Tosh or something who died of a foot infection? Because Ben's not going to die, but he should have gone to the hospital. I told him. And I told him yesterday when I was on the phone with him, his wife called me and told me about it, and said, Cindy called and said, you know, you can call him. He's awake now. He has his cell phone. I called him. She said he'd love to hear from you. And I did, and the first thing I said, Ben, how you doing? He's like, I'm feeling better right now. I'm okay. He sounded good. So I said, are you going to be mad if I say to you, if the first thing I say to you is, I told you so, you should have gone to the hospital a month ago? And he said, nope, that's okay.
Well, you say it's not a conspiracy, and I don't think it's a conspiracy that way, like some clandestine agent did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But I think it's part of an open conspiracy that doctors in the healthcare system are so obnoxious to go through all of that. The pricing's awful. You never know what you're going to end up having to pay or being on the hook for.
They can act like God and treat you really poorly. Remember a year ago when I had the government flu, the lady was that was back when I was still smoking cigarettes before I was on the Plume Room vapes, and we recommend going to theplumeroom.com and using the coupon code. What is it? It's VAPE 2014. Vape, yes. 2014. Vape, yeah.
2014.
But before I got on that, like, I went to this doctor. I was really sick, and I was like, I need antibiotics. And she's like, you smell like cigarettes. You shouldn't smoke. Like, really, like my mom or something. It was weird.
Right. Yeah, and people don't really have relationships with their doctors. I mean, people can have more of a relationship with their pizza delivery guy than they do with their doctor. You know, a lot of times people avoid, especially people I think who really don't buy into the system. They don't believe that that the government is here to take care of you, and they realize how much government intervention makes the service and the quality of the care that much worse. They try to probably avoid doctors as much as they can, and I bet that's kind of where Ben was coming from. I know that's how I act often. I wait till the last minute, till it's very dire, and then I see a doctor, and it's somebody who I don't know who they are. I've never seen them before in my life. They come, don't even make eye contact, and write down a prescription for me. You know, that's my experience.
And try to give you psych meds if you have a broken arm. Yeah. They do that these days. It's crazy. But people used to have relationships with their doctor. That's how Ron Paul got elected. And I'm only half kidding. I mean, he delivered like 4,000 babies in his district, which isn't that big of a district. I think they all grew up and voted for him.
Or the parents did. I know when we were in the delivery room and our doctor was delivering Lily, we were very disappointed with the amount of care our doctor was giving us. And we did not like her attitude, and she was not there to work for us. She felt like she was in a rush to get home to her family for the holidays. It's a very bad situation, and I feel like we feel very strongly about that, and we talk about it to people. And I think if it were the opposite of that, you know, if we had a great doctor who was just awesome and made the experience that much better, we'd probably remember it for the bulk of our lives. And yeah, if they ran for office and we were the voting type, we'd probably vote for him.
Yeah, and the doctor was really pushy and wanted to give your wife a C-section because the doctor wanted to go play golf or something, and your baby wasn't coming on his golf schedule or pinochle schedule.
It wasn't on her schedule, and she wanted to break the water. She wanted to stick –
poke.
Just imagine that. Yeah. But way ahead of time, and things were progressing. It's not like things had stalled, and the nurse was not on board with it. The nurse was on our side, and the doctor actually threw a mini fit. Like, I haven't seen – this is the kind of fit that you see kids throwing. Like, she raised her voice. She looked away from us. She talked to another nurse, and she, like, flung her hands up in the air like she was just so angry. She said, fine, then you just do this yourself. You know?
She was late.
You just sit there and labor.
She was late for her 50 Shades of Grey reading group. The thing that made it tolerable was the wise Jamaican woman out of The Matrix who was there working for you, right? Too the midwife.
Well, actually, the doctor looked more like the wise Jamaican, but didn't act like the wise Jamaican. The nurse, who was not a midwife but a nurse, was the friendliest, sweetest.
The doctor acted more like the Jamaican on Futurama crossed with Bender from Futurama.
Yes, yes, yes. A potato spaceman, like
incompetent and aggressive and mean. Yeah,
right, right, right.
Yeah,
she the actual delivery part. She looked confident. Competent, like she had done it a million times before, and that was fine. I guess that's one of the most important parts. You know, she reached in there like she was grabbing a tennis ball and just pulled that baby out, and it looked. I mean, it looked wow. Like I didn't know human beings could pull other human beings out of other human beings like that.
Yeah. And
Lily went potty as her first act as a human being on the doctor's arm.
Yeah.
As a revenge. So
no, it wasn't revenge. It was commentary.
Social
criticism. It was.
This is what I think.
Well, your baby didn't yet know how to use the internet and go to one of those rating sites where you rate your professionals.
So she was. She just doesn't understand Yelp.
Yeah, she was. She doesn't have email, but she had Pmail.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
yeah.
Speaking of weird things and health, the Ron Paul of Wyoming, there's two of them. There are two state reps here. One is Cale Case, who we, you know, as politicians go, we like him. He wants to, what's his saying? Do you remember his saying?
Wait, no, there's more than two state reps. Cale Case is like a rep that goes to the Wyoming legislature, right?
Well, I said
you guys only have.
There's like 90 state reps between the House and the Senate.
I said
there are two that are good.
Okay.
There are two that are kind of like the Ron Paul of Wyoming. And Cale Case is one. Yes, he's the guy who said. Something like, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't think government should interfere with anything that people can avoid by stepping away and walking out, you know, or something.
Yes.
That was the end of it. The beginning of it was.
He said, I don't like patchouli stench.
Or Kenny G's music.
Kenny G music,
but
I
support the right of people to have that junk and the right of people not to go in there. Yeah.
Exactly.
He was the one, he's one, he's still around. He's actually been to my house. That's how Wyoming is, you know. He's been to my house. My state reps come to my house to buy guns without a background check. That's what Wyoming's like.
Can you say that?
It's legal, man. I have more than one state rep, so we don't know who you don't know who it is, and you don't know if he's still a state rep, but he was at the time. And you know, he's a good guy. We like him. We like. Well, it might have been her, but the other Cale Case of Wyoming, Sue Wallace, the other libertarian Republican in the Senate in the House here, died mysteriously this week. It's very bizarre. Like she was found dead in a hotel room in Gillette. She's from Recluse. That's why I was saying Recluse. I'm not really in Recluse, but you know, she was from she was the state rep of a county with 15 people. No, but we'll be back with more about Slaughterhouse Sue is dead. Long live Slaughterhouse Sue on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squiskar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Thank you for joining us once again on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti out here in the Texas Hill Country. Michael's rolling around somewhere in the Mountain West with his Wormabago. I think he's in, you're in Recluse, Wyoming.
Recluse,
is that right?
Yeah, population.
Home of Slaughterhouse
Population
Sue. 14.
Sing us a population 14. 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Can't find the song. There's a, they call her haters. We like her, but her hate. Yes, she has haters or had haters, which is why it's weird that she's dead and was found dead. And there's no more information yet because, I'm wondering if maybe she got, I don't even want to say it, man, but people called her Slaughterhouse Sue because she put a bill forth in Wyoming. I don't think it passed, to legalize harvesting of wild horses in Wyoming. And there's more to it than that, right? What do you know about it? You were a news dude.
I don't know a whole lot about it. I know there's it was a perennial story, the plight of the wild horses. And I think there's some kind of state or federal agencies, wildlife management, that has some responsibility in it.
Yeah.
And to me, I didn't read Sue Wallace's bill, but I know she was in the government, so I can't help but think she was thinking of it as a government solution to a government problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know. My thing is, if they're wild horses, I mean, that's the epitome of what we think of as wild animals. That's the metaphor for running wild and being free, right?
That's why people are upset about it. I mean, like, it's wild horses and wolves. Like, people, you know, wolves, everyone in the Mountain West either, you know, secretly shoots shovels and shuts up, or thinks they are like,
or they wear the three wolf moon shirt.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
There's no in between with wolves and with horses. It's either like, there are wild horses here. I didn't know that. Or it's, oh my God, think of the horses. Which, I guess her bill really. So what they did was, the bill got so much pushback, she added another government solution layer to it. Was she said, well, we won't just sell the food, the meat from it. We'll give the food to the prisoners in the state prison. That's a libertarian Republican solution. That's not a libertarian solution. But as politicians go, you know, if you just look at the policy, she's better than most. She wanted to legalize medical marijuana. She was okay with gay marriage. She didn't care what the gays do. And anybody who does care, I don't know, man, you got a problem, I think, if you're really caring what other people do. Basically, if you think,
if you care about who other people love, then you've got issues with your own intimacy.
I got it better than that, man. If you care who gets a government piece of paper, you got problems that go beyond intimacy. You know?
Yes. Yes. Very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're not going to stop them from loving each other, but, oh, we cannot let them get that piece of paper. But really? I mean, that's like being upset that certain types of, cars can be registered or something. But she was also in favor of legalizing raw milk, which we're a big fan of. The thing we're reading about her, this obituary, was on, like, an anti-raw foods, like, food protection. We will protect you like
food,
the government.
Foodsafetynews.com. Breaking news for everyone's consumption.
Yeah.
Which apparently makes their living by putting out a bunch of food recalls. And that's fine. I mean, I think in a free market, it's up to reporting agencies and stuff like that to let people know where the food's safe and where it's dangerous.
Yeah, they're not Cass Sunstein. We're going to talk about him later. But yeah, Sue, she was – here's what I knew Sue. I never met her, but I talked to her a bunch on the phone and emailed her a bunch, because back when I was a voting kind of guy, I was the Wyoming chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus, which is a group of libertarians who think the answer to get liberty is to try to get a bunch of old square GOP people to legalize pot and gay marriage instead of just going off and doing it on your own and not worrying about what some old square people think. And, you know, I believed it. I wanted to do something. I was like, well, I can do this. They need a chair for Wyoming. So I was the chair for Wyoming. So I went through everybody's voting record, and I found a couple people who were okay, and Sue was one of them. And I got her endorsed by the Republican Liberty Caucus. She still is. She's still on the website. They don't take it away when you die. And she didn't do anything to get it taken away while she was alive. She continued to be a libertarian Republican. But yeah, man, she was found dead this week. Yeah, she was like 54 years old, man. That's kind of weird to die. She wasn't. She was in good health. I don't know what happened.
I guess I see some and on this website, there was a lot of the comments were very anti her, saying, well, I can't really mourn her death because she wanted to kill all these horses. But there's some real logical inconsistencies here. Like this one comment by Letty Grayson says, time to change the law to prevent the slaughter of horses using techniques designed for cattle. It doesn't work for horses. Research it for yourself. I don't know, man.
That's like saying we need to fix the broken government to make it work better. Like, we don't, if you're going to kill horses, you got to do it in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's more to it than that, but we'll be back after this trip to the market. I don't think we're selling any horse meat at this point, but if you want to advertise some horse meat, go ahead and give us a call.
We'll take ads for horse meat on the Freedom Fiend.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Alright, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vidotti here in Central Texas. Out there in the wilds of Wyoming, we've got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm holding up, man. I slept 45 minutes last night, and the night before I slept 4 hours, and the night before I slept 4 hours. And no, I haven't been up dancing to disco music at rodeos. I have been working. What is that? Oh, yes. It's a baby. I've been working on a project that is going to change the world, and is probably going to be released to the world Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that. And it is going to be groundbreaking and positive and peaceful and voluntary, and it's going to make everyone kind of go, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, you're making a Liberty baby. So you're staying up late at night to make your Liberty baby, and you have my support. And I helped out a little tiny bit because I feel like it's a really important project.
I did some music, and you told me that it's missing the first 5 seconds of the video.
Ah, yes. So hopefully whatever little bit I can do to help out. Everybody should pitch in a little bit because it is an important project. I think you say you're going to pull the trigger on it early this coming week. So everybody keep an eye out for it. And you can contribute too, and we'll let you know how early this week if all goes as planned. Right, Michael?
Yep. So let's finish up with our eulogizing of Sue Wallace, a.k.a. to her enemies, Slaughterhouse Sue. But I liked her, and I got her confirmed or blessed, whatever, by the Republican Liberty Caucus when I used to be their chair. And when I say chair, I mean my wife and I would rent a table at a gun show and hand out literature, and we'd be the only people at that table. Like, I'd be there in my chair. Yes. Like, man, getting...
That's what it's like to be in a political action committee in Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
You sit at a table at a gun show.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, all around you, people are going, oh, guns, guns, guns. And even, like, the ladies selling chili and Navajo jewelry, like, those people have more people at their table. And some, like, young hipster gun dude walked by, picked up a pamphlet and said, ew, Republicans, and threw it down and went to go buy some guns.
As he was holding his AK
slung
across his shoulder. Republicans.
Yep.
That's way too square.
Yep. Yes. So Sue Wallace was one of the good ones, and she will be missed. Read what Matt Mead said. I doubt he wrote it. This isn't the Matt Mead I know.
At least he knew he had to put out a statement similar to this.
Yeah, a script writer, I think.
This is what he ended up coming out with. I'm not sure where the words come from. I'm not going to make call on it, but I got it right here. According to sources, Matt Mead said this, quote, "Wyoming lost a great voice today. Representative Wallace was a poet, and her eloquence was on display whether she was writing or debating on the floor of the House or in my office. The strength of her conviction was clear, as was her commitment to the West and our way of life. I will miss her." That's according to people what Mead said.
Or in my office. I see a subtext there of like, boy, she bothered me a lot.
Yes, always debating in my office. I'm the governor.
Yeah, and you know, you and I went shooting with the governor and hung out with him.
He brought out all of his guns. He talked about how pro-gun
he is.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I bought all these after Obama was elected.
Yeah, but
we were like, yeah, right.
If you want a second opinion on that, you should all go to WyomingGunOwners.org. And there have been a lot of, I won't say exposés, I'll say opinion pieces by our friend Anthony Bouchard about how the governor, Anthony says the governor, Matt Mead, has become kind of gun grabby since then. He ran on a platform of guns, and that's what you do in Wyoming. But
he's a politician, man. Before he was a politician, too, he was the U.S. federal attorney for Wyoming. So he was in charge of prosecuting all of the horrible federal laws on people who live inside of Wyoming.
All the people
who don't
that
want to abide by those
all
silly
the people
rules.
That got caught driving with a bunch of marijuana or something. Yep. Oh, no. Yep. Think of the children.
Yeah.
And think of the horses. They might eat that loco weed.
Horses. Yeah, man. My thing with the horses is I don't know what her bill was, but I think the thing is, doesn't it all come down to the fact that the governments of various sorts, the state and federal government, are trying to manage this population of wild horses as if it were something humans knew how to manage, as if we can push the ecosystem in the wild in a place like Wyoming where the wild actually is the wild and not just a suburb.
I feel like
they can actually make it work the way it's best to work.
I feel like the wild horse issue is a vestigial organ of early Americana, and it's like the government is secretly waiting for the last one to die off so they don't have to take care of them anymore. And you know, it's such a symbolic thing of this is what America used to be. It had wild horses and
well, it all comes down to private property, too, right? Yeah. I mean, if you love the horses, and if you love the wolves, for that matter,
have one in your apartment.
Making comments
man.
About people's deaths on
start a wolf
news
rescue
story.
in your apartment in San Francisco.
Rescue.
Yeah,
get together and buy some land in the middle of nowhere. Hey, there's some sections, chunks of land in Wyoming you could probably get real cheap.
In fact, Recluse.
Even if you don't buy the mineral rights, right? Just buy the tops of the ground. Just buy the top land that the horses can graze on it and protect them. Have your little wild horse refuge. And then if somebody wants to buy land and have a slaughterhouse on it, that's their property too.
Why not buy the mineral rights so somebody else can drill holes in it?
Because it'll be a lot cheaper. I'm just saying it's probably a lot cheaper in some of those chunks where there's probably oil or gas. If you don't buy the mineral rights, you just buy the land on top.
Do you know
the horses graze on it.
Do you know that in West Virginia, it's kind of unique that state in that there might be a couple other states like this, but in West Virginia, when you buy property, you don't automatically buy the mineral rights, and they are often sold to someone else 100 years ago, and it's such a thicket of pieces of paper that no one knows who owns them, and there are whole companies of attorneys devoted to like sorting out who owns the mineral rights. And it is not terribly uncommon for people to buy their 10 or 20 acres of heaven in West Virginia and settle down and retire and wake up one morning to an oil digging derrick in their front yard that someone has the legal right to put there. That's one reason we didn't go there. We looked at that state on the short list of locations for the Dean Foundation and found it lacking primarily because of that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, stuff like that can happen in Wyoming, too. I mean, there was a story I did about a bunch of people north of Riverton who had they signed contracts with a natural gas company that was going to frack there. And so they willingly gave away or rented their mineral rights out to these companies.
Can you say that word on radio?
What?
Fracking?
I think I can say fracking. Okay. Yes. And It allegedly ruined their water.
It sounds wrong. I'm not saying anything about the process itself. I'm just saying, like, isn't that one of the 27 words you can't say on radio?
Maybe. I thought there was no actual list.
There's not, and we have discussed that. Yeah, it's basically up to the whims of some bureaucrat.
Of
the F.
I don't think we can say the bureaucrat's agency on radio. That's probably more dangerous to say than fracking.
You mean the F word?
Yeah, the F word.
The FCC,
exactly.
The commission.
The F acronym.
The commission. Yeah. That's what they're called in radio. The commission. Okay. So the I guess commish. The commish. They have the a guy commish. Called the commish. I'm not saying anything Probably. Bad about the FCC. I'm just saying that it's a bureaucracy in America, but it's more freeform in some ways than most alphabet soup agencies, because there is not a published list anywhere on the FCC site of what you cannot say on radio. It basically says you can't say anything of a prurient nature, and it's like that
the
is widely
is bad for a legal system. Yeah, though, right. Really I is. Mean, that means whatever. If they don't like you, they can say, "Oh, well, you're prurient."
Then they have to get a federal attorney to sort it out.
Yes.
Yep.
Your very voice is prurient to my ears, and so yes, you're off the air.
Yeah, they get. I mean, with bureaucrats get federal attorneys to sort things out. Who aren't good enough to become governors. That's who ends up sorting those out. So speaking of Gibson guitars and how they got shut down by the government.
We spoke about that about
2 years ago when it happened. Yeah. They've actually put out a commemorative guitar that is, it looks like a government guitar. It's really bland looking. It looks like a GI, like a government issue guitar.
Government issue. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Yes.
Is
that what Elvis had to play during his USO shows?
It either looks too plain or too fancy. It's pretty bland, but it's not bland enough to look like, army fatigues. And it's really, I think it should be made out of taxpayers' tears, or maybe taxpayers, like make it out of the leather.
Taxpayer leather.
Yeah. I got some silver.
I think it looks like they're kind of tongue in cheek with their statement here too. According to Reason, this was the Gibson Government Series 2, this isn't the first time apparently if they have a Government Series 2. But this was their press release. Great Gibson electric guitars have long been a means of fighting the establishment. So when the powers that be confiscated stocks of Tonewoods from the Gibson factory in Nashville, only to return them once there was a resolution and the investigation ended, it was an event worth celebrating. Introducing the Government Series 2 Les Paul, a striking new guitar from Gibson USA for 2014 that suitably marks this infamous time in Gibson's history.
It should be called the Ron Paul Les Paul. That's what Ron it should be. Paul. I wonder if they're related.
The Government
Ron
Series
Paul
Ron Paul.
Les Paul.
That might be confusing. Then you might think Ron Paul ordered the attack on Gibson guitars.
Yeah. Government guitars.
Some people just think he's such a bad guy for some reason that he eats stem cell smoothies and crushes guitar companies.
Who does?
I don't know why people get that impression.
Did Cass Sunstein order them shut down?
If it was anybody, it was him. Yeah. Well, he was an advisor at the time, so I don't think he had any power.
Did we give the background? They went in because they were using imported woods that some bureaucrat in some other country had outlawed by the stroke of a pen on some treaty that America, George Bush had said, yeah, treaties are good. I'll sign that. Where's my stem cell smoothie? Give me my stem cell smoothie.
yeah, I want it now. Yeah, it wasn't even an American legislation thing. It wasn't something the Congress passed or the people did or any kind of democratic
or the Department
class,
of
stuff like that.
Fish and Hogs and Guitars passed. Yeah.
Yep. No, it was. I think it was an Indian law or some kind
India
of Southeast
or
South
Native American.
Yeah. Not Native American.
Native Americans can't pass laws. Who was it who said if you want to see socialism, go to a Native American reservation in America?
It was James Watt.
Yeah. We love it. Everything that nothing he did except that said that. Yeah, James Watt.
Or was it the other one?
Eat your heart out, James Watt. Yeah, man.
Was it James Watt? Oh man, you got me confused now.
This guitar.
It was some Watt. It was the Watt we talked about last. Yeah, it was James G. Watt. That was it.
Yeah, it should be made out of, I want a solid silver guitar, man. That'd be pretty heavy. Heavy, man. Play heavy metal on it. How about a guitar made out of gold from that's in Fort Knox? Or would that be an air guitar?
Okay. I see where you're going with that. Yeah. I see what you did there. Government Series 2. Yeah, I feel like this is funny of Gibson to do, but
I could not own it.
It could have been better.
I'd have to sell it. I couldn't play a guitar called the Government Series. Can you imagine if guitar like government issue if the government made all the guitars, they'd be like if the government really had control over the internet and computers like they claim they should because they think they invented it, I think that computers would fill buildings and still cost tens of millions of dollars and require teams of nerds in lab coats to run them.
I think so too.
Although
this seems priced like it's a government guitar price. It's $1,099 for this very simple, plain-looking guitar.
That's pretty cheap for an electric Gibson guitar, actually.
All right, our yeah. Gibson's really
pricey.
So
we're going to talk about Cass Sunstein when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
Right. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Uh-huh. Cheese. I'm eating cheese.
Cheese. Yo, it's Freedom Beans Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati. Michael Dean's out eating cheese right now.
Horse cheese. Made from horse milk.
I wonder if that'd be any good. I don't know. Apparently horse meat didn't used to be such a taboo thing.
I've seen people.
One of the things Sue Wallace was fond of pointing out was it was on the menu at the Harvard Lounge or something.
Hey, I've been in Switzerland in 1991. I sat at a table next to someone who was eating horse meat. It's eaten.
And
there.
Wasn't there some controversy a few months or a year ago in Europe that a lot of the ground beef being sold at fast food joints was actually mostly horse meat? And people were all upset about it, but they seemed to be eating it just fine when they didn't know it was horse meat.
Mmm.
Anyway. We had a couple more things about Sue Wallace.
In France, it's called a quarter horse with fries.
You just come up with that? That's not bad. I like it.
Yeah.
Quarter horse with fries. I thought it was Royale with cheese, but I guess we can mix references here.
It's a quarter horse
with cheese. With cheese. She actually wrote. She was a poet. Her husband was a cowboy poet, and she apparently was also a poet, and they wrote books together, poetry books. And she wrote
one. You say poetry
one,
like it's a bad, dirty word, like poetry.
No, poetry. I used to.
You never have plosives, but you said like three in time in a row. You're like poetry. All right, go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a weird thing.
I'm gonna eat cheese.
Fair enough. Anyway, she wrote a thing. Should we read it? It's kind of lovey-dovey.
Yeah,
to, it's a
love song to the government, to the republic.
Who writes love poems to the state legislature?
No libertarians I know, but you know. We're going to honor her memory and read it without commentary. Just go on with it. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. It's called The True Infrastructure of the Legislature. In this Wyoming legislature, each of us, we are an institution. True, but a human one. Our camaraderie burnished, seared in a crucible of robust, vigorous debate, sometimes in concert, often opposed. Decorum religiously observed, regardless. Emotions honed, constrained by civility, an integrity that transcends of ordinary.
You know we're on the radio on two stations in Wyoming, right? Okay, go on.
What, am I not reading it appropriately?
No, I can't believe we're doing this. I liked Sue Wallace. Okay. I knew Sue Wallace. And you, Nima, were no Sue Wallace.
Oh, okay.
You don't eat horse harder. And you don't vote. Get up on the mic, man. You're kind of fading. Come on, get up. Give me your full Nima. Give me the full Nima. Wait, can you say that? Can you say that on the radio? The full Nima?
The full Nima.
All right, go on.
You want the full Nima?
No, I don't.
A session. 40 days of intimacy, more familial than adversarial.
Ew.
We know each other's idiosyncrasies, who we trust, who to keep at arm's length. Know for sure that if some worst thing occurs, we could count on any one of these 90 souls to leap illusory aisles, vault partisan divides, abandon the haughty chambers to come to the aid of a member in need. These relationships ring down through history, generations grinding the foundation that supports a formidable state, a mighty nation.
I wish this poem some say it is were about her horse instead of the Wyoming legislature.
Instead of the government.
Yeah. I would have a little more. Go on, man. It's a good poem. Okay. That's the problem.
It sounds good. Yeah. It does. Some say it is all because of a strong constitution. The free nation founded on principle. But I know.
I don't think I have the constitution nothing more complex. For love songs to the state. But keep going.
But I know it is due to nothing more complex than respect and kindness between colleagues.
That's the end of it, right?
Yeah.
That's not true, man.
We promised to not rip on it.
I couldn't help it, man. So. I like Sue Wallace, and I like her. I like her books about being a rancher. Her story, her poem. I've read poems I really like by her, but that was a love song to the government. And the last line of it is a fallacy. Government is not about honor among friends. Yeah, government is about force, man. I mean, there's a meme going around of Obama that totally nails it. It's from the other day when he gave his speech. It says, it's a
we want to give you more choice by force.
Yep. You know, he's doing a virtual traveling speaking tour now. I guess he didn't get enough. He's going to like be in Recluse, then he's going to be in his Wormabago, man. He's copying me. He's doing what I do.
Some pages from Michael Dean's book.
Yeah,
not a good one. Well, not the one he should, not the pages he should take. Now, okay, but the thing about this Sue Wallace poem, right, is it sort of points at a thing that libertarians always say and people go or blah or dismiss. But the fact that they're all one team, right? She says, at a moment's notice, we'll jump these illusory aisles, vault the partisan divides. And she says, it's all about the kindness and respect between colleagues.
That is so square. That's so square.
They're all on the same team.
So square.
We're the ones on the other side. They have the honor, the camaraderie amongst thieves.
Worms.
We're just the victims.
Horses and worms. Freedom Fiends. We'll be back.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I love the Plume Room nicotine liquid for all my e-vaping pleasure.
And I'm DJ Dean, the fiend behind the scene. We exclusively use the Plume Room Artisan e-liquid. The Plume Room vape juice is made lovingly in America by the talented mad mixtress Andrea. It's not mass-produced or stored in stockpile. The Plume Room has 25 flavors, and almost a third of them are Spin Fuel Award winners.
Tell them the fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014 to get 10% off at theplumeroom.com. That's theplumeroom.com.
Hello now, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, ladies and gents. Now it's time to rock with the Freedom Fiends. Going all the way back to 1846. That was Cheap Trick during the break. Oh, but you all didn't hear it. It was us. Just us. But
we're the Cheap Trick.
I'm a Cheap Trick, yeah. That was Cheap Trick we're listening to. You didn't hear it. I'm just editing video. I'm working on my grand project for next week. It's going to change the world, man. Do I have to do a show right now? I will do a show and love it, man. I'll love it. Because Google is trying to take my show because he's Google, Obama. That's why I don't use Google Hangouts. Like, you log into Google these days and it's a big ad for Obama. Like, he didn't get enough.
I didn't know what Google Hangouts were. I thought they wanted
to
do
all the cool kids are doing it. Yeah, I know. They hang out and smoke cigarettes after class at Google Hangouts, I think. All the engineers, okay. All the software
marijuana
engineers.
Marijuana cigarettes?
The marijuanas. No, I don't know if the... I can't say that the Google smoked the marijuanas. I don't know how many of the... What did I call Bitcoin kajigger now. How many kajiggers do we have?
I have one kajigger. I've been lost count. I don't know. How many kajiggers? You were selling me all of your kajiggers because you'd rather buy...
Namecoin. Namecoin. Buy Namecoin, people. I'm going to be like, who's that guy on the finance show that gets up and screams on the table? Buy Namecoin.
Jim Cramer.
Yeah, I'm the Jim Cramer
Mad Money.
of Namecoin. Yeah, you know, when you search on Indiegogo, when you search the keyword Bitcoin, there are like 900 results of things that have been funded on there that contain the word Bitcoin. When you search the word Namecoin, there are exactly zero, which sounds like, why would you want to be bothering with something to raise money to do something with something no one's heard of?
You're first out the gate, man. Yeah, man. You're going to be first to market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although other people could join me there if they go out and buy Namecoin this week, because I have a feeling it's going to go up from
$5. Now, and what kind of people is this project trying to protect the average freedom lover from?
It goes beyond libertarian weirdos, as Cass Sunstein would say. This project is basically going to be – this project that cannot yet be named is basically going to be for humans that have internet connections.
Oh,
or wireless internet connection. Humans
that
use the internet.
Humans.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Not people in Recluse, but everybody else.
Cass Sunstein would like to heavily regulate the internet and then finance it and give it to you free and only have you be able to use it to watch Obama chat on Google Hangouts and answer questions on Reddit that are picked by the audience. Yes.
And he'll, of course, log your whole history and send you notes on what you had searched that day. You know, notes on what you had looked at. And maybe that one wasn't too friendly of a site. Maybe you shouldn't go there anymore, says Cass Sunstein. And if you think that's a bad idea, then you're a paranoid libertarian. And if you're somebody like Ed Snowden, Glenn Greenwald, or Julian Assange, then you're a paranoid libertarian. And you shouldn't tell the truth, man, because – hey, we've got all these government bureaucracies and they've got all this power and we worked so hard for it. You don't want to just throw that all out the window, do you guys?
I don't know, man, but stupid kitties need the most love. Peanut's sitting on my lap and I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. This is kind of cool. But the other day I was trying to do a bunch of hardcore math. I mean, not like the guy I'm doing this project with, he actually builds robots for fun and does not want to work for the military. That's pretty cool for a robot maker.
Oh, good. I'm glad you pinned that down.
Yeah, my new friend Jeremy, who's like, he's a lot like Sheldon Cooper, and that's a good thing because I've always watched Sheldon Cooper and been like, boy, I wish I could hang out with him. And Jeremy kind of is like him, but he builds robots, man, and it's cool. But not that kind of complex math, but simpler math. Like I was trying to balance my budget or something, you know, just do eighth grade math. Oh. And Peanut was sitting on my
lap.
Stuff
that the president can't do.
No, this president can, but he lets Cass Sunstein do it because, you know, Cass can do the new math where 2 plus 2 equals 72.
72, right.
2 plus 2 equals 22. But yeah, Peanut is so stupid and so squirmy and so loving. He sucks the math out of my brain. I cannot do math with that cat on my lap. Okay, go back to Cass Sunstein.
Yes, yes. When you're thinking too much of cats, it's hard to do math or cat. All right. Man. Cass Sunstein, and this isn't the first time he's blaming all the ills of the world on, quote, the paranoid style in American politics.
He uses the word liberty. He's unique, almost unique, of major players in American politics in that most of them are just Democrats yelling at Republicans or Republicans yelling at Democrats. He's actually been the secret right-hand man under both Bush and Obama, the secret, the tyranny czar, the control everything czar. And he's been blaming libertarians for a long time. He created a term. He tried to co-opt the term by creating something called libertarian paternalism, which is an insane 1984-ish term for, we won't necessarily outlaw meat. We'll just put the meat up on a higher shelf so it's literally harder to reach and you don't see it when you see the good, the healthy food, you know, like he wants everyone to be a vegetarian. Living a vegetarian virgin at 40, living with their mom, singing "I Wish I Were an Oscar Mayer Wiener," like on that movie that I'm in.
You know, though, I think it's healthy. I think Cass Sunstein and everything he's talking about and this new attack on this paranoid libertarianism, which isn't the first time he's done it. And he wrote a paper in 2005 of the name Libertarian Panics, who tried to compare the frenzy after a terrorist attack about security to when people freak out about how there's not enough freedom. He tried to compare the two things. But the thing about Cass Sunstein is he gets what the real debate is. Just like he blames stuff on libertarianism rather than the left or the right or the Republicans or Democrats, he realizes that the real conflict, the one that's important, is between statists and people who don't want to be controlled.
He is that rare genius individual with power who sees the real thing, who sees through the crap of the left and the right that 98% of the government people are yelling about. He sees the truth that it is about, you know, those who want to control and those who want to be left alone. But he's on the wrong side of it, as you said. He wants to control everybody. That's a weird mix, yeah. Man. It really is.
Is it, though? I mean, who can blame him? That football player who was recently, like, there was this giant Twitter controversy. Was it Richard Sherman? I'm not up to date on my football. But he was talking mess, like sports players do, about Michael Crabtree. And then they continued their little beef onto Twitter. And he said that lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep. And I think that that's where Cass Sunstein is coming from, is he realizes that the fight is between those who don't want to be controlled and those who want to control people. And he realizes that the ones who want to control people already have control. And so why would he jump back on the other side that is on the receiving end of all the tyranny when he's already on the side that gets to live carefree and do the controlling? I mean – He gets it, and he doesn't want to have a hard time of it. He doesn't let morality get in the way. Might makes right to him, and he wants to be right.
You said that you were once involved with, or no, you checked out a long time ago. What was it, Texans for Accountable Government? Which are kind of small government agency who basically, like what we said that boils down to is, there could be government and tyranny. We just want you to send me an itemized list for the tyranny that I've paid for against myself.
Send me an itemized receipt of all the transgressions of my freedom.
Cass Sunstein goes further. Cass Sunstein's like, you don't get that. We're committing tyranny, and we're not going to show you the list. That's a secret. I really believe he's behind.
And it's paranoid if you ask for the list because you should just trust us.
Yes. I really believe that he is behind, and he'd say this is a me having a conspiracy theory, but he's behind I think he's behind the NSA's expansion and all the secret shadow government stuff. I think he's a major player in it.
In what stuff?
All the tyranny we complain about all the time. All the bad things. Do all the bad things, says Cass Sunstein. Yes, and he's written papers. Like, what was that paper he wrote about how the government needs to be more involved in taking over the internet? And like, it basically said we need to spy on everybody and we need to pay people with taxpayer money to sit around on forums and offer dissenting opinions when people dissent against the government. We need to have paid government employees whose job is to sit in a cubicle, look at Farmville and face space and my face and all the Twitters. And when someone says government is bad, have a seemingly well-reasoned, no, government is good. It provides things that the market could provide better, but we don't tell you that.
Yeah. Well, he gets it. He gets that in the end, government does rest on the consent of the governed. I'm sure he's seen Larkin Rose's The Tiny Dot, and I'm sure he's internalized it. And so he realizes
if he hasn't seen it, he's received a short list of 50 or 100 people who, you know, the 50 or 100 rising stars of Cass Sunstein's day is going to be wrecked if they get too big.
Right. And so I think he gets that people need to believe in the state, and he gets that this libertarianism is the biggest threat to their continued power. And rightly so. I mean, we should take that as a badge of honor that all of us out here in the Liberty Mission are doing something right, because it's not just Cass Sunstein. It's like with him, they brought out the big guns before him, and this is a guy that he points to in his article. In the Monterey County Herald that Cass Sunstein wrote, he points to this Princeton University historian Sean Wilentz, who basically said this. It was his basic same argument that Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange, even though you might think they're from the left, if you're on the left, you shouldn't support them. Yeah. You shouldn't listen to them because they're part of this nasty libertarian streak of people that that are part of Cato and the Koch brothers, and they want corporations to make your decisions for you, which couldn't be further from the truth. But people are bringing out the attack dogs, man. Yeah. They're scared.
It's and libertarians used to be completely ignored and laughed at by the people in power if they even knew what they were. And now they're like, okay, we got to get a committee on this and a task and write some white papers and publish them and hire some government employees to post on the Twitters against them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and not even white papers and think tank type of stuff, but like mainstream media type of stuff, like in your local newspaper, editorial board type of stuff, man.
It starts with a white paper, though, at some think tank within the government the government. And through one or two or three or four layers of people, it ends up in Vanity Fair and on MTV. Right. Yeah. And on Fox.
Yeah.
And on Fox, man. I hate to say it. I mean, I don't hate to say it. I'll point it out. I love to say it. Fox are
just like
MSNBC.
Well, if they were smart, MTV – if they were smart, MTV would really be where they're targeting stuff. I mean, they – Cass Sunstein is going to be speaking to the choir, the people that still read newspaper editorial boards for their opinions.
If MTV were smart, if music television were smart, they'd still play music.
When I was your age, they played music on the music television.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we shouldn't talk about MTV specifically because I don't even know if they have any credibility
anymore.
Yeah,
man, you got to see the pregnant. You know, I got pregnant at 16 and beat up my boyfriend and put him in the hospital reality shows. I mean, that's the voters.
I didn't know I was pregnant is one of the best.
Those
ones.
People are going to be voting in 2 years. You have to tell them how to vote, man.
Right. Okay.
Hillary is running. You know,
maybe you're right. Maybe it's too easy to get those people convinced anyway, so they're not putting their attention there. But we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a short while after this trip to the market. So stick with us, folks.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati here in the Texas Hill Country. Out there on the Great Plains, we've got Michael W. Dean tearing up the road in his Wormabago. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. I'm in Recluse, Wyoming, population 14. And we're talking about some stuff here. We got a little cute thing that someone sent us here. We're going to read on the air and read the results.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes we read fan mail. Now's one of those times. Wait, who wrote this? We should say who wrote this, huh?
Everett.
Okay, who said, P.S., feel free to read this on air. So yeah, we'll only read your name if you tell us it's cool. So Everett said, Mr. Dean, I just got my first bitcoins from Coinbase, and I couldn't think of a better way to make my first Liberty-approved transaction than to buy some Freedom Fiends buttons. I bought some buttons a while back, then gave away my Anarchy Gumbo button to a friend, which was my favorite podcast before it pod-faded, but being Cajun, I really need another AG button. Please send an AG button if you have any left. It would be greatly appreciated. I currently have this amount of bitcoins, which is about this amount of money. Will that be enough? Please let me know how and where to send them. Also, please congratulate Nima and his lovely wife on having brought a little fiendlet into this world. Fiendlet. And know that I send my best wishes to you and your wonderful woman as well. And one last thing. My kitty says, Mao. We named her Luna after the Russian rock musical group. Aww. I have a funny comic about status cats I'll include. Sincerely, Fiend 13, a.k.a. Everett.
Fiend 13. I like that. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. I wrote him back and said, I can send you some buttons, but sorry, I only have one Anarchy button, Gumbo, but Anarchy Gumbo. That was a kind of fun, like even more fast and loose than the Freedom Fiends podcast that I did for 75 weeks, 75 episodes. And it's
basically kind of how I imagine your new show
is
going to be
is,
like, but
it
more
is absolutely
friendly.
Very much like that. It was basically like different. I mean, I'm not going to have a different host every week, like on the Gumbo, but I'm going to have a rotating cast of about 5 or 6 people that I've like had them go out and get good mics and taught them how to do sound. And, it's going to be pretty nifty. But it's going to be fast and
you're
loose.
You're still going to interview people, though, right? Like every now and then you'll have, this is so-and-so who did this one thing that you've never talked to before.
Most people aren't up that late.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, most professional type people that generally get interviewed a lot, it's just going to be me and my weirdo friends that have insomnia. So,
yeah. Well, it could always be people on the other side of the world to where it's, daytime for them.
We got
up eating their bagel and lox.
Two people like that. Yeah. So the Anarchy Gumbo, the button for it that we don't have anymore, was a shrimp that I had a friend of mine draw who was also named Everett Glenn, different guy. It's like a shrimp making muscly arms. And it was the Gumbo Shrimp. Gumbo.
It's very
shrimp.
Awesome shrimp.
It is.
Yeah, I've got. I've actually got one right here. I'm looking at it. So what I'll do? Oh, did you tell the story?
I didn't finish the story. I had one. I buy buttons. We buy buttons, and I get them out of my house. That's the goal: is to sell them. We give them away at events and conventions. We get them out of the house. We basically break even at them. You can, for $10, you can get 10 buttons and a data DVD with a movie on it and a bunch of Fiends episodes right now. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons. But here's the thing. Like, we generally have the same 5 at a time for a few months, many months at a time. But once in a while, we switch them out. I stopped making the gumbo ones and replaced them with the buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep. And every once in a while, I get a request for the gumbo, and I just don't have any more. I have one, and I gave one to my wife, and she has it on her furry purse. And you know what? I told her this story, and she said, "You have one, dear husband, so that means we have one. I will send him mine." I was like, that is so sweet to me and to the power of the fan. Yeah. And she was willing to make that sacrifice. And then Nima came along and said, "Oh, I've got 4 sitting around. I'll just send him one of mine." So
yeah. Yeah, that's she doesn't need to make that sacrifice. Yeah.
The fiends take care of the fiends, man. of the Fiends. With a capital F is us, and the Fiends with a small F is the fans, the Fiend fans.
So I will stick one button in a padded envelope and send it to you, Everett. Maybe I'll write a little thank you card or something for being a great listener and writing us a great letter to read on the air. I'll do something like that for you too and shove it there in the envelope for you. Thank you very much, Everett.
Yep. That was really sweet. I thought that was really sweet. My wife's sweet. It is. I like her. I love her.
Yeah, and if you ever want to give us any feedback or request anything like that or have anything you want to say to us, you can do that at talkback@freedomfiends.com. Just talkback@ and then the name of the show, freedomfiends.com.
Yeah. And if you don't write something as cool as what he wrote, post it on the site instead. Nah, I'm kidding. But everyone writes us all this stuff that I'm like, I have an auto, like two keys that I type that auto paste this thing because I'm sick of typing it. It's basically like, hey, that's a really cool comment. Why don't you post that on the site? I'd rather people post on the site and then I'll answer them back and we can share it with others. You know, I'm a busy guy, man.
People can see it. If everybody can see it, it's better.
I'm an incredibly busy guy. I don't have time to sleep anymore. So post on the site, man, unless it's really personal, and then you should be pigeoning me instead. Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Freedom Fiends Flash Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti out here in Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean out somewhere in the West, hiding in his Winnebago from Cass Sunstein.
Mr. Dean? It's good. I am vaping on some angel sauce from theplumeroom.com. It is so good.
That sounds a little bit too prurient for my interests.
Yeah. Well, you know, the best things in life that involve pleasure offend people, I guess. So I'm having some wonderful... It's so good, it hurts, man. No, it doesn't hurt.
Yes. And where did you get this angel sauce?
The Plume Room at theplumeroom.com. They are one of our wonderful sponsors, kind of like in AA. They tell us how to live with vaping. They tell us how to get back on the drug of nicotine and really enjoy it to its fullest. One day at a time.
That's the thing,
one day
man.
At a time, man. I stay back on this
wonderful
nicotine.
I can't imagine going back to burning tobacco leaves from
rolled
a cigarette
up in a tube.
And inhaling them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially the cigarettes with all that glue stuff they put in it so they don't start fires that the government makes people put in the cigarettes.
Well, they put two things. They put about 57,000 different things in, but they put in two things that do opposite things. They put in glycerin so it doesn't burn too quickly. They put saltpeter so it doesn't go out, and then they put glycerin in it so it doesn't burn too quickly. So it's like, you know, low explosives and then like liquid. Like water, basically. Yeah. Heavy kind of water. Gooey water. Not heavy water. That's radioactive.
That doesn't sound... not heavy water reactor.
Actually, heavy water is not radioactive. It is after it's been in a reactor, though. But heavy water is H3O, I believe. And it is it soaks up a lot of radiation. It's very thick.
Well, I didn't say it was reactive, but people have heavy water reactors that in some way utilize
Dude,
the
that's
H3.
Heavy.
I don't exactly know the science.
That's heavy.
Yeah, man, I still have some pipe tobacco that I tell myself I'll occasionally smoke, but I never get around to it just because it's so much easier to put some delicious vape from the Plume Room into my Pro Tank and press a button. Literally, I press a button and I download vape straight to my face, into my lung
drive.
And I got nicotine in my brain at that point, and everything's a little easier to deal with. So,
man, you're talking on the radio about drugs you like, and we're talking about nicotine, but it's like, you know, nicotine's a really fun drug, and that's why people have used it for thousands of years. But the old nicotine delivery system is kind of creepy, man. It makes you smell. It gives you cancer. It makes you sick. It's taxed to the high heavens. It's government controlled. This is like, you know, that's like dial up, and this is like the cable internet in Austin. It's 100 times DSL or regular cable speed. Yeah, man. It's great. The Plume Room's great.
It's fiber.
Yeah. And
it's vape fiber, nicotine fiber.
I'm using a battery from Smoke, S-M-O-K, who are not an advertiser of ours, but, you know, I like it, so I'll say it's good. And then maybe they'll become an advertiser. Like Jay-Z does that with Cristal, doesn't he? Isn't that what he does?
Not with Cristal anymore. No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Apparently the guy from Cristal said something racist. I don't know how racist it actually was, but it made some people say, that's racist.
And he said, and also, like, I don't want those people spraying my wonderful product all over each other in their rap and roll musical videos.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly he said, but
if we got really, Jay-Z really rich, cool. would we make music videos? Would it be like us spraying Plume Room vape on our wives in front of a Prius?
I don't know if anybody would like to see that.
Holding an AK-47, shooting it into the air.
Yeah. If that's what the market wanted, we'd have to have long, hard talks with our wives to see if they'd be willing to go forward with something.
Hey, man,
like
the world
that.
Would want to see it. I think the world would want to see it. I think that they're both kind of private people. I don't think they'd want to do it. So, you know, I think my wife'd be cool, though, with us, you know, hiring actresses to do it, though. Like, oh, honey, I have to go to work now and spray this young lady with, like in the rock and rap videos, I have to spray Plume Room vapes.
Yeah.
In the general direct, that'd be horrible, and it would probably, it's nicotine, man. I wouldn't want it sprayed on me. I want it gently sucked into me.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want that around certain mucus membranes. It probably wouldn't
like your eyes. Yeah, let's just say that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Angel sauce. Prurient.
angel sauce.
I like angel sauce from the Plume Room because it's very prurient in my lungs. Yeah.
Yes.
And we do ads. We do sell ad time on the Freedom Fiends. It's $200 a month. So if you want to get on, I don't know if we'll talk. This isn't an ad. This is not even a live read. This is, we're doing a segment on how much we love this. And that's, you can't buy that, man. That's the ad was in the first segment an hour ago. We're still talking about it because we're just sitting here loving it. So I have a question for the Fiends Torrenters. This is like 1% of our audience. So everyone else can just go, go over to theplumeroom.com and order some vape while I talk about this for 30 seconds. I want to know the people that are torrenting, the 20 or 30 people that have our RSS feed and share on the torrents, everything to keep us drone-proof. When I come out with my new show, 4 live nights a week, and then 1 best of, but I'm not going to put the best of up on torrents, just on the website. Are those people who are torrenting going to want that to be on the same RSS feed for the Freedom Fiends torrent? Now, I'm not talking about the website, the iTunes feed. That's going to be 2 different RSS feeds. But for the 20 or 30 people out of the, like, you know, there's thousands of people that download the Fiends, and there's going to be a lot of people downloading Michael Dean After Dark. But the 30 people, see, I don't know who the people are, so I have to ask them on here. The 30 people that do our torrenting, and you should go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link at the top if you want to join us or know what we're talking about. Those 30 torrenters out there, are they going to want this to be on the same feed, the new show to be on the same RSS torrent feed, or a new one? Let me know. And I said that's like voting, but it's not immoral. And what did you say about that?
Yeah, because, well, it's more of a survey then, right? I mean, it's not an election. They're not deciding who's going to rule their pod or their chromed robot turd. They're giving you feedback.
Yeah,
it's a customer survey. And then you can say, backed by popular demand, torrents for Michael Dean After Dark.
And
it's market research.
It is voluntary, unlike voting where, you know, you don't have a choice. You can not vote. But no matter whether you vote or not, they will somebody or the other will have all the guns of the government and the police and the military and be able to point them at your head and extract lay around and collect taxes, as it says in the
lay
Constitution.
Lay and collect taxes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Constitution.
And this
exactly.
is, you know, the torrenting thing, the question about the torrenting is actually very voluntary, and there's competition, unlike with government. You can go elsewhere. You could stop torrenting. I'm talking about people who are doing us a favor to keep us in perpetuity, so when we get droned for feisty free speech against Cass Sunstein, and Obama flips up his BlackBerry and says, oh, droning the Freedom Fiends, there's an app for that, you know?
Yeah. The thing about torrents is we always say, then we live forever, but torrents have the potential for immortality, not the guarantee of immortality.
Oh, you just wait till my thing comes out. If
people keep seeding them.
You just wait till my thing comes out on Tuesday. Till my thing comes out on Tuesday, man. My thing.
You're going to take your thing out on Tuesday.
And no, my new project that's coming out, man. Get your head out of the third grade. My new project that's coming out next week that's going to change the world. And I was going to say before, you know, Cass Sunstein gets a weekly list of like, you know, well, not like a yearly list of the 100 libertarians to keep an eye out who are going to wreck his plan if they get too popular. I think Larkin Rose is on it. I think Boston Tea Party is on it. I don't think I'm on it, but I think I'm going to be after Tuesday. That's what I got to say.
That's your goal, at least.
Yeah,
right?
Is to maybe have so much freedom.
Maybe you get on the SPLC watch list.
So much freedom that the government wants to kill me. I'm going to encourage so much nonviolent, competition-based, voluntary, they can't shut you down, but you ain't hurting nobody kind of system into the world with my friend Jeremy, that I'm going to get on a list of people that they're like, oh, these libertarians are a problem. Let's add another one to this list of 70 or 80 or 100. Yeah, that's what I think, man.
And what do you think they're going to do with this list, though? Do you think this is where they're going to use their NSA spying? They're going to put it to the test?
Oh, they're listening to me right now.
Try to embarrass you or blackmail you?
Yeah.
Well, we know they are.
And, you know, they call you paranoid. He's saying – here's another thing about him saying you're paranoid libertarian if you say you don't like the drone state and the spy state. It's the new version. It's all they can get away with now of calling people paranoid for that, because it used to be if you said – I think the government's tapping everyone's phone, or even I think the government's tapping my phone. All those people said publicly and loudly, you're nuts. You're paranoid, man.
Uh-huh.
But I guess it turns out that like the Dale Gribbles of the world were right for like 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. So now they have to attack the whole philosophy of libertarianism as the paranoids.
Yeah.
You're not paranoid because you think the government is spying on you. You're paranoid because you
care.
Think that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you care.
That's
exactly
the subtle adjustment that Cass Sunstein is doing in his – he writes the white paper.
That's what he's so good at.
No, he writes the white paper. It goes out to like six people who work in the White House who call up their press contacts at a bunch of news bureaus. I swear it's three or four people between Cass Sunstein and everybody from like Vanity Fair to MSNBC to MTV to probably everybody except the Freedom Fiends and Vice magazine.
I would say.
Yeah.
I think there's more outliers than that. But yeah, I'm
your kidding.
Point, man.
It's growing. There's millions, man.
There.
There's millions. There's 18
but
million people
thing,
on the government kill list, isn't there? Don't they have 18 million people they want to detain now?
Well, I don't know what the number is.
Go,
but
Neiman,
Barack
go
Obama
for it, go
says.
For it, go
that,
for it. Go
that,
for
yeah, it. We spy on you all the time, but that's cool because we're only going to use it against you if you're a terrorist, if you're bad, if we've got reason to believe you're involved in some kind of foreign terrorism, which A, do you believe him? He's Barack Obama. But B, are they going to use your data, Michael? I mean, there's that book, Three Felonies a Day, that everybody's so fond of quoting, but there's probably something they could get you or I or anybody in the world on. That's why it's dangerous.
They want to get it to
spy
it. They want to get it to everybody's committing three capital crimes an hour. Without people doing
go to
without doing anything different, just like they're going to redefine the law to where like everybody commits three capital crimes that you could be executed for by the government, by the federal government, with hanged by the neck, as they say, until no longer breathing.
No, with Bruce Byrne's firing squad from Sheridan, Wyoming. They'll put you in a firing squad.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that. Speaking of Wyoming, weirdo politician libertarians. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Senator Bruce Burns, Republican from Sheridan, said earlier this month that the state law currently calls for using a gas chamber if lethal injection is unavailable. And apparently he says, quote, "The state of Wyoming doesn't have a gas chamber currently, an operating gas chamber, so the procedure and expense to build one would be impractical to me." So he's being a conservative
rifles.
Republican
we
there.
Got, he wants to conserve the government money. They would have a lottery if they passed this. People would probably line up to go shoot people they don't know. If they could do it legally.
You think they would? You think they would? I thought people naturally
recoil
from that.
I'm not saying anything about Wyoming. I'm just saying in general. I think that a lot of people would love the government to bless them to be able to kill. I think that that's why a lot of people – not a lot of people. I think that's why some people go to war, want to go to war. They want to be able to kill a man and get away with
some people. It's a definite some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought the thing with like firing squads is you're sitting there looking at a helpless person. It's hard to get as pumped as if you're in a war zone and somebody's shooting at you. Or
well,
if you
Utah doesn't
say,
man.
Hey, he was resisting.
Utah. Wyoming has Utah lust. Do they want to keep up with the Joneses? Because Utah has.
Is that it?
They executed Gary Gilmore with one, and he said his last words were, just do it. And that became the motto of Nike. That's where that came from, man.
Is that really where it came from?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for sticking with us today, folks. I am Nima Vadati. We've got Michael W. Dean out in his Wormabago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it is the bottom of hour two. That means we won't be here much longer. But in the meantime, we've got the Freedom Fiends Tweaking Review.
And if you do want to buy buttons or make a donation, we do take bit-ka-jiggers here on the Freedom Fiends. So check it out.
Yeah. You got a jingle for me?
Bit-ka-jiggers, yeah.
I meant for the Tweaking Review.
No, man.
Okay,
that's fine. Too far away. It's across. I have vape. I'm trying to fill vapes right now while I'm doing the show, and I got
multitasking.
I need three hands. I'll give you three thumbs up. How's that, man? Go, Nima. Go.
All right. I suppose I'll do that. So first, everybody keep your thoughts and prayers or whatever you do with Ben Stone, Mad Quaker, great voice in the Liberty Movement. He's in the hospital right now. I spoke with him on the phone. He sounds like he's in high spirits. So everybody send your good karma or your Jesus or whatever you believe in to towards Ben Stone hope and pray for his health. He is very important to the cause, in my opinion. And next up, we talked about Sue Wallace. Her critics call her Slaughterhouse Sue. She's one of the better Wyoming politicians, i.e., she doesn't think the government should be involved in giving people pieces of paper in order so they can marry each other. She doesn't think the government should stomp on people's rights to decide what kind of medicine they ingest.
She likes guns, too. We didn't mention that part. She's not just, you know, of all the, like...
I thought that was a given
well,
in Wyoming.
Well, it's not, though, because, like, you know, the other three things we named would be a lot of things a lot of liberals would like, but she's a gun owner. She's a gun owner, a gun shooter, and a, you know, shooting mama. Yeah, she liked guns.
Yep. And she apparently was found dead. I haven't seen any updates really on what happened. I don't think the coroner has come out with anything yet. It's kind of tough in Wyoming. I don't even think they have a medical examiner for the whole
if you
state.
Die in Casper under mysterious circumstances,
you have
to
be shipped to Colorado.
No,
right?
No. Nebraska, of all places. Like, Nebraska is a step up in, you know, I was going to make the joke of it's a step up in medical technology research, but it's actually a step down because they have more government in Nebraska. If you want government autopsies, you have to go to Nebraska here. So, yeah.
Okay. So, that's a really interesting thing. She was only 56. She had a lot of enemies because she wanted to basically re-legalize.
She wanted to legalize pot and kill horses. That's how people
looked
at it.
Well, she didn't want to kill horses. She just wanted it to be legal to own a slaughterhouse that would kill horses. Apparently, she thought that'd be a good solution to wild horses starving to death. I think she kind of misses the point, but, you know, at least she didn't want to go out. And I don't think she wanted to fly in her helicopter and shoot horses or anything like that. So, really – interesting case here. I'm kind of curious to find out what the autopsy says. Next, we talked about Cass Sunstein, who is in a panic over libertarians. Boo. As per usual, he wrote a paper called Libertarian Panics, and now he wrote an op-ed called The New Class of Paranoia.
You know why it's never going to catch on? Because it doesn't rhyme, Libertarian Panic. Now, in the 80s, when I was in college, there was a thing called the Satanic Panic, which existed in my town. It was basically like there wasn't really a thing, but it made good news. And my old pop culture history teacher at Jamestown Community College wrote a book that you can get on Amazon called Satanic Panic. Speaking of teachers, the music teacher at the school in Westfield, New York, where I grew up, like there's a picture up on the paper of him in the room I learned to sing in, but he's a different teacher. He's some bearded guy they got now. He won a Grammy this week. It's big news where I came from. But wow. And my dad was like, yeah, it was great. There were lots of famous people there. One of our state congressmen were there. And I'm like, dude, mine comes over to my house. My old one came over to my house and bought guns from me. That's the joke here. But
what do you win the Grammy for?
That's the thing. It's a new category, the Grammy for Best School Music Educator. I'm like, did Barack Obama's wife make that up? That's weird.
Grammys? That's don't not a get Grammy. A Grammy
I know.
For that?
You do now, man, in Obama's America.
Yeah. We are in a bizarre world. All right, well, maybe he's a good guy. I mean, he produced or he taught you, right?
No, he didn't teach me. I'm like his age, man. This is the guy like four guys later.
But the same room.
Same room.
I guess it's a stretch, but we'll be back, or Michael will be back tomorrow.
My vibe from my mouth is still reverberating in that room, influencing today's public school children in Westfield, New York. And I'm not on the radio there, man. I should be. All right.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.